All right, everybody, you're listening to Greenside Up right here on the Mighty 690K GGF. Kyle High with you in studio, and also with me in studio from the K-State Extension Office, we have Barbara Ames and David Scrantz. Ladies, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Kyle. We're doing great.
It's a good morning so far. It's Thanksgiving Eve, and before we all stuff our faces for Thanksgiving. But before we stuff our faces for Thanksgiving, we do want to talk about some Thanksgiving food safety so that we can all be fine for this Thanksgiving. And just the only thing we want about our tummies hurting is just from eating too much, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you're gonna cook a turkey and you haven't got it thawed out, it's a little bit late to start now, but you can it can be cooked from the frozen state if it needs to be. You're just gonna have to allow a little bit longer, maybe quite a little bit longer, but hopefully you have that turkey out thawing right now. And I don't know whether it's worth talking about how to thaw one because it's kind of too late, but in the refrigerator or under cold water or in the microwave, you want to make sure you go ahead and cook it immediately if you do thaw it in the microwave. And hopefully you allow about a pound of turkey per person, and just make sure that you cook it to roast it to 165 degrees. And if there's a pop-up timer, we still want to make sure that we use a thermometer and check it in a couple of other places just to make sure that it does reach 165 degrees in all the places.
And another way that you can do it is with cold water. I do this with ground beef occasionally where I'm going to fix, like hamburger helper or something that night. And I forget to set out the ground beef and it's like, no. I'll usually throw it under cold water. But you need to change that water around every 30 minutes when you're thawing it that way, correct?
That's right. You allow approximately 30 minutes a pound to do it that way. So if you have 12 to 16 pound turkey, it still takes about 6 to 8 hours. So,
right.
I guess we're on Wednesday, so you could still do it that way. Mm-hmm. And then you go ahead and cook the turkey immediately when it's thawed that way too.
Right, because you don't want to try to throw it back. That'd be like thawing ground beef. And I'm going to throw it back in the refrigerator. It's no, because in a few hours that ground beef. Well, actually, no, it's not even going to be a few hours. That ground beef is going to go bad pretty quick.
Right. The whole point of all of this is just to try to reduce the chances of bacteria growing, because we don't want that foodborne illness. I think clearly, like you said, we don't want any tummy aches from anything other than maybe just overeating a little bit.
Exactly.
We don't want that bacteria, that foodborne illness happening.
We want a full tummy so we can have that afternoon nap that we always take during Thanksgiving where everybody's just laying around the house, I ate too much. And then you get back up and you have leftovers. So you already ate too much. So,
and we want to make sure we get those leftovers in the refrigerator within a couple of hours, too. And get those chilled down. And if you have large amounts, we want to cut those into smaller amounts so they can get cold fast enough.
Okay. And I was talking about the turkey leftovers and stuff like that. How long will that food last if properly stored?
Well, you want to discard any turkey stuffing or gravy that's left out longer than a couple of hours or an hour if your home is really warm, like 90 degrees or above. And like I said, divide leftovers into smaller portions. You can should use refrigerated turkey stuffing and gravy within 3 to 4 days. And if it's going to be longer than that, then you can freeze them. And then they'd be good for a couple of months, 2 to 6 months probably.
Yeah, I keep that there's never anywhere I've been, though, unfortunately, there hasn't been much in the way of leftovers. Everybody's eating everything, that day. Everybody stuffed their face, took a nap, woke back up, watched football, and ate more turkey, because that's how it does. But when you decide to, a lot of times most people just eat the turkey cold when they're eating leftovers. But how should we reheat turkey if we, have leftovers that we want to make it hot again? Reheating the food?
Okay. So if you're going to reheat it in the oven, you can set your oven to,
you're fine.
No lower than 325 degrees Fahrenheit, and then reheat the turkey again to that internal temperature of 165 degrees Fahrenheit. And be sure and use your food thermometer to check that and make sure you get it there. To keep it moist, you might add a little bit more broth or some water or something just so it doesn't dry out.
Yeah, it doesn't get dried out, yeah.
And if you want to reheat in the microwave, you put it in there, you cover it, and make sure that it rotates for even heating, and then allow some standing time. And again, cook it to the internal temperature of that 165 degrees Fahrenheit. That's what we always say for any kind of poultry.
And of course, microwaves vary. There's some that are, you know, higher wattage, some are lower wattage.
Right.
So the same. Basically, check how much your wattage is, and then you can kind of figure out how long you need to cook it.
Look at your owner's manual if you don't know.
Yeah, if it's on fire, it's been a little too long cooking it. So
I'm trying to avoid that.
Yes, we don't want to get there.
Yeah, if it's on fire, I think you've cooked it a little too long. So we don't want to do that. So especially on Thanksgiving. So
that's right.
So that's some Thanksgiving a turkey safety tips, because obviously turkey is not cooked very often throughout the year, so we want to make sure everybody's safe eating it. We got to get to that temperature, and it's that way with just about any amount of food. You want to get it up to that temperature so that it's killing back, you know, killing potential chances for bacteria.
Right.
So
a lot of times the Thanksgiving meal is the largest meal that we cook all year, and sometimes people don't cook much at all other than for special holiday occasions. So it is a time when there's a lot more risk of foodborne illnesses, because people are cooking in larger quantities and maybe cooking something for the first time. So we just want to make sure that we think about all those food safety rules that most of us kind of know them, but we just need to pay attention to them and make sure we follow them.
Yeah, because like you said, most of the time you're only cooking for yourself, or you're cooking for yourself and a spouse or a child or something like that. You're usually not cooking for 10, 12, or 10,000 people that show up at your house, you know.
That's right.
So unfortunately, sometimes that can fall through the gaps a little bit. So just you got to be a little bit more careful than you usually would.
Right.
Obviously.
Make sure that you wash your hands and that you wash, you know, your utensils and all of that, and don't wash the turkey. We've been getting that message out too. I think they used to say that we needed to wash the turkey, but they've decided now that it causes more harm than anything, because that washing process, you can splatter droplets of, you know, turkey juice or, you know, from the turkey around your sink and spread bacteria.
Yeah, that's
that way.
Definitely not a good thing. Yes.
So and when you cook it to that 165, you kill the bacteria. So that washing is just a step you don't need to take time to do.
And hey, that saves a little time too as well. The only other time that you may be using water for a turkey is if you're trying to, you know, thawed out, you know, quickly. But again, you're changing that water every 30 minutes per pound. So like you said, it's for a, you know, like a 12 to 16 pound turkey, it takes 6 to 8 hours. And if you're going to do that, you better get started right now.
That's so, right.
You're going to run out of time by the time everybody's demanding food. So anyway, that's some Thanksgiving Day food safety. And coming over here to Davin. And Davin, you had some cultural facts about some of the Thanksgiving food and also some upcoming events.
Yeah, so I was going to talk a little bit about where the main kind of product for different Thanksgiving dishes come from. Wisconsin is actually the leading state for cranberry production. So you think cranberry sauce is often served during the holidays. It's one of my favorite side dishes.
Mine too.
I was surprised to find out that Wisconsin was the leading state, and they produce actually 60% of the nation's cranberries, and cranberries are mainly grown in 5 states, which besides are New Jersey, Oregon, Washington, Massachusetts, and then, of course, Wisconsin is the number one. And Americans, we consume nearly 400 million pounds of cranberries.
I consume half of that.
Yeah. And total production is 841 million pounds per year. And 20% of the cranberries we consume are eaten during Thanksgiving week.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that was pretty crazy. I never really thought about the amount of cranberries eaten. And then green beans, which are another staple, whether they're served by themselves or green bean casserole, about 1.5 billion pounds of green beans are produced in the U.S. each year. And again, Wisconsin is the leading state in production. And green beans, one fact about them is they are actually easily grown in different types of soil. And then, of course, we can't forget wheat because it's used in dinner rolls and pie crusts. And I really like dinner rolls during Thanksgiving or really
I will eat all the rolls. Just put them all on my plate. That's all I'll have. I'll just have the dinner rolls.
I think you like Thanksgiving dinner.
I do.
I'm already excited about Thanksgiving dinner.
I'm excited to watch some football and eat food. I mean, that's always a good day.
Yes. Yes. So 2 billion bushels of wheat are produced in the U.S., and which are used for Thanksgiving bread and also throughout the year. A bushel weighs 60 pounds, and the top wheat producing state is Kansas.
Yay. Yeah.
So go Kansas. And Montana and North Dakota follow Kansas in wheat production. And then kind of go along talking about wheat and pies. We, of course, can't forget dessert, and pumpkin pie is one of the many pies. I know each family kind of varies in which ones they prefer, but pumpkin is usually thought of in fall and Thanksgiving, and the U.S. produces almost 1.5 billion pounds of pumpkin each year. Illinois leads in pumpkin production, followed by Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And then, of course, we can't forget turkey because it's the main dish of Thanksgiving and also Christmas sometimes. And Minnesota is the top turkey-producing state, and American farmers produce more than 253 million turkeys each year, and over 46 million of those are eaten on Thanksgiving. So wow. A lot of turkeys.
Everybody likes turkey, especially on Thanksgiving. So
it's tradition.
Yes.
And the average turkey goes to market between 13 and 21 weeks of age. And the average weight that you'll see in the stores is about 15 pounds. And turkeys eat approximately 60 pounds of feed in their lifetime. And for every 2 and a little over a quarter pounds of food they eat, they end up producing 1 pound of meat.
Wow.
So just a little bit of facts about where your Thanksgiving dinner comes from.
And we definitely want to thank, you know, usually they don't get a lot of thanks, obviously, but we definitely want to thank all those farmers and all that that are able to help provide us these bountiful harvests that we get every year. So
yes, definitely.
Definitely the unsung heroes. So they definitely are. Those wheat farmers, man, they get out there and they get the work and and they don't get a lot of money made from it, but they love doing what they do. And we definitely appreciate doing what they do for us. So
we were talking about an article we read earlier that they get less than 25% of that dollar.
Man, that's crazy.
It's more like 12 to 14 cents per dollar.
Man, they deserve more than that.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
They deserve more than that. Okay.
Definitely.
We need to go ahead and take a break because we're coming near the top of the hour. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. People think it's a good idea to drop a frozen turkey into a vat of oil, and that's never a good idea. So let's not do that. So let's not talk about it. You end up with lots of fire. But David, we didn't get to it last segment, but we'll go ahead and get to it on this segment of Green Side Up. There are some upcoming events coming up here in the near future.
We have a couple upcoming events. The first one is the preseason deer program, which will be next Tuesday, December 3rd, from 5 to 8 p.m., and it will be at the K-State Southeast Research and Extension Center, which is on Ness Road in Parsons, Kansas. And that program will start off with a field dressing demonstration, so you can learn how to properly field dress, clean, and store the deer. And then that will be followed by dinner, which is sponsored by Timber Creek Meats Market. So if you're getting off work and you can't quite make it in time for the beginning, that's all right, because after dinner we will have talks on food plot preferences and nutrition, so you can learn a little bit more about growing a food plot for deer and what they prefer, and also what type of plants provide them with good nutrition. And then after that, we will have a presentation on hunting safety and laws, which is, of course, is just good information to know and keep in mind, especially as rifle season is going to be starting. And then we'll finish off the program with Charlie Lee, who is the K-State Research and Extension Wildlife Specialist, and he'll be talking about more about deer habitat management and evaluation. Of course, food plots are a good way to encourage deer to come on to your property, but also managing the land you have to make it an ideal habitat for deer as far as shelter and food sources. So different considerations there. And then the next event we have coming up in December is December 17th, is the 2019 Agronomy Night. It will be at Independence Community College. James Coover, our crop production agent, is hosting that event, and it will start at 6. Registration starts at 5:45, and he will have a speaker on canola production, and then dinner is provided, and then he will be talking about just different crop related timely topics for producers. And both of these are events are free to attend, thanks to many great sponsors that we have sponsoring both of the programs. And then coming up in January is the Farm Financial Skills for Kansas Women in Agriculture. It's a statewide program, and for the Wildcat District, we are hosting it in 3 locations, one in Sycamore, in Parsons, and in Hepler. And it starts January 15th. It's a 4-week program. It will be on Wednesday nights, although you do need to register for it by the end of December. And there is a $40 registration fee, but we do have local scholarships available as well, so you can contact us for more information. And this workshop's going to be covering record keeping, balance sheets. It's also going to be covering different types of stress related to farming, and family living expenses, cash flow, goal setting. So we'll have speakers via Zoom presentations from campus, and then local speakers as well. So there'll be a lot of great information there.
So a lot of good programs coming up that you guys are hosting, including, like you said, the deer program coming up. That's coming up not too long from now, correct?
Yeah, next week. Wow. So Tuesday, yeah, there we December go. 3rd.
So get ready for it. So and it's hard to believe that December is almost here already.
I know it.
It's that weird time of year. It's that weird year where Thanksgiving is happening basically almost right before the end of the calendar. Usually, it's back one. Yeah. It's having a whole nother week in November, but it's like we get to Sunday, it's already a whole different month. So it's crazy.
December's
this month
already here almost.
Oh man. And Black Friday's coming up, boy, and that's
kind of messes with your mind.
Yeah, it does a little bit. And I will stay away from Black Friday. I will do Cyber Monday, that way you don't get elbowed in the chin or something like that.
Trying to get over in the parking lot.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> always and if you're going, always shop in groups, because safety in numbers. So anyway, we'll get back to talking about our cooking our turkey here in just a minute, but you wanted to let people know what number they can call if there's anything that we are not able to cover here, a number that the everybody listening can call for more tips.
All right, and that would be the USDA Meat and Poultry Hotline, and it's 1-888-MP-HOTLINE, or that's 1-888-674-6854. And it's open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. But I believe it's open on Thanksgiving Day, too. Okay,
right.
They make a special effort there. And then there's also a website, www.fsis.usda.gov. It's Ask Karen. And you can go there for web-based automated information as well.
And that always helps out because I'm more of like, you know, websites that you can see what's being done. So you kind of get a better idea of it instead of, you know, actually just hearing somebody talk about it. But before we get on out of here, and we went over this in the first segment, but we can kind of just do a quick overview of again, because again, turkeys are not cooked very often, mainly this time of year. But a few things you can do. One, thawing your turkey. Obviously, you can't just sit in the refrigerator now unless you have like the smallest turkey in the world, because you've run out of time. So there are other ways to do it. You can do it in cold water or the microwave, correct?
That's exactly right. For cold water method, you want to allow about 30 minutes per pound. You wrap the turkey and then you submerge it in cold tap water and change that water every 30 minutes and then cook it immediately. Don't refreeze it. Or in the microwave, remove the outside wrappings and place it on a microwave-safe dish to catch any juices. And then, again, you're going to cook it immediately after it's thawed. And then to roast that turkey, you want to set your oven to no lower than 325 degrees and roast it in a shallow pan. Make sure that you get it up to 165 degrees and check it in three different places. And if you have one of those pop-up temperature deals, make sure that you use your thermometer anyway, because those just don't go down deep enough and they only check it in one place.
Right. And you want that thermometer where you can check in several different areas just to make, because one area could be a lot warmer than another area and you're like, oh, that's not good, and you throw it back in for a few more minutes.
So. You want to check it in the innermost part of the wing and in the thigh and in the thickest part of the breast. And again, 165 degrees. And then let it stand about 20 minutes before you carve it. And then that allows the juices to set and it'll carve more easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's other tips here, like if you choose to stuff your turkey, the ingredients need to be prepared ahead of time.
Right.
You want to keep them wet, or you want to keep wet and dry ingredients separate.
That's right. And we do really recommend for optimum safety, not to stuff the turkey, but to cook your stuffing in a casserole dish or something outside the turkey. But like you said, if you do, if it's your tradition and you want that turkey stuffed, just be very, very careful. Keep wet and dry ingredients separate. Fill the cavity loosely. Cook the turkey immediately. And be sure to use that food thermometer to make sure that stuffing also reaches that minimum internal temperature of 165 degrees.
Absolutely. We want everybody to have a safe holiday. We want you to stuff your faces, but we want you to do it safely, obviously. And how long does it take to use there's different times to cook turkey. So around what? It's around three. It's anywhere from 1.5 to 5 hours, depending on your turkey. And that's unstuffed.
That's right. Unstuffed turkey, 4 to 6 pounds is pretty quick. But 6 to 8 pounds, you're talking 2.5 to 3.5 hours. 12 to 14 pounds, 3.5 to 4 hours. 14 to 18 pounds, 4 to 4.5 hours. So there's usually a label on the turkey that'll give you some indication of how to do that too.
And some of the cool optional cooking hints that they give us here, like tucking the wings under the shoulders of the bird for even more cooking, which is referred to as akimbo. And here's something else I think a lot of people maybe miss sometimes. Add half a cup of water to the bottom of the pan.
Right.
Because that, I guess, that'll keep it from getting too dry when you're cooking it.
Keep it moist.
Yeah, keep it moist. That way,
And if you don't have a lid on your pan, you can use an aluminum foil tent to help keep the turkey moist and reduce oven splatter. And then to prevent over-browning also. But you want to take that off at some point to get some browning going.
Right. And then, of course, leftovers. There's always leftovers. There's too much food for a lot of people. So there's always leftovers. But we want to store those leftovers. We want to make sure people are probably still going to eat them not much later, but we want to make sure we store those probably as quick as possible that we can have leftovers, and those leftovers last quite a while, do they not?
Well, we don't want to keep them in there for too long. We do want to get them into the refrigerator within a couple of hours, divide them into smaller portions so that they cool quickly, and then use the refrigerated turkey and stuffing and so forth within 3 to 4 days. If it's going to be longer, you can freeze it. You can even make yourself little meals to freeze, and then you'll have them to pull out for, you know, if you don't have time to cook or take them for lunch to work or whatever.
But I mean, usually if there's a lot of turkey left over, you can have turkey sandwich for days. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, okay, so yeah. lots of things. And then, of course, there's sometimes that people like to reheat their turkey. And it's pretty much the same rules as when you're cooking your turkey.
That's right.
You need to set that oven temperature around 325. And
right.
that internal temperature still needs to be 165. So it can kill any bacteria.
It.
So
good job. You got it, Kyle.
And then, of course, you can cook it in the microwave, but same rules right. there. And the times average or
again,
vary.
To keep it a little moist, you can add a little broth or water to it as you're warming it up just to keep it from drying out.
Absolutely. So lots of great tips for cooking turkey because, again, you probably have run out of time to let it thaw in your refrigerator unless you've already started doing that. But still different ways to do it safely in cold water and in the microwave. Just be sure to kind of keep an eye on that. And then you have to cook it right after. So right. because it's, I mean, at that point, It's like, you know, defrosting ground beef. Well, once that stuff's defrosted, don't throw it back in the freezer. Go ahead and cook it right then, because at least otherwise you can at least cook it and then store it for later. So anyway, it's been a great tips here today. I appreciate you guys coming in today, and obviously I won't see you again before Thanksgiving because tomorrow is Thanksgiving. So I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. It was great to see you guys today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you guys for coming in.
Happy Thanksgiving as well.
All righty, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have open line. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.